Yonente, Yonette.
ESPN 97.5, KFNC, Mont Bellevue, Houston. Brought to you by Zadok Jewelers. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, one in the books, two to go. Second hour of the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5 on a Thursday in a big city. That means tomorrow is an F yeah Friday. Barry, I'm sure you'll have a comedian of the week picked out and ready to go for the folks.
Oh, yeah.
Well, okay. That sounded like a very overzealous approach to it. I like it. So we got that going for us, which is nice, and lots of other fun and games. So if you guys want to throw some things out there between now and then, or even then, you're always a part of our show with the suspects, so we welcome you. 713-780-3776, text or call. You can also hit us up on Twitter. And contrary to popular belief, we are taking calls. So unlike some of the yes. others, we take the calls. So if you want to call, if that's easier for you, you know, pick up the phone. If not, keep doing what you're doing, because we still are getting plenty of messages, and we appreciate you.
We do. Did you see this story about Tua and how a couple of GMs or a GM says two teams flunked him and that the risk far outweighs the reward?
Really?
I find that kind of interesting. Yeah. Former Browns general manager Michael Lombardi confirmed that at least two teams around the league simply can't get past his injury history. And then he said this was on Saturday down south, but he said it's not just his hip. It's his ankle. It's his wrist. He broke his wrist the first day of spring ball one year. He's brittle. He is brittle. You can't deny it. He's a really good player. I don't disagree with that, except for the part where he says the risk outweighs the reward. I guess he means because you're wasting a top three pick. But I think the risk is worth it because, you know, I mean, if he goes top five or whatever.
Right. I mean, here's the thing to me. You can't escape the facts of that he's been hurt in his college career with the injuries, the ankle and the hip and all that stuff. But you also can't escape the fact that until he got hurt and throughout his college career, he was pretty much unanimously the best quarterback when he was playing. So,
yeah.
You know, I think that when you look at what is – yeah, sure, there's always that risk. And maybe he is brittle. But if you protect him, you know, he's proven that he's got all the attributes that you need in a quarterback. And so many teams, as we've seen here in Houston, are desperate to find their franchise quarterback. You know, you could say risk-reward, but is it worth the risk to get the reward of, as long as he stays upright, he could do a lot of good things for whatever team takes him. And you look no further than someone that has been limited athletically in terms of escapability and you know, all these other things in Brady, but because they've kept him upright, I mean, he's the greatest of all time. And you can go up and Phillip Rivers, he's not a runner, but if you can keep him upright, he can do things. And in no way, shape, or form am I saying Tua's those two guys, but I'm just saying that he has enough positive attributes that I'm not going to shy away if I'm a franchise that needs a quarterback from saying, you know what? Yeah, he's had a few injuries, but if we have a good line, and I just think he's a guy that's going to do better than what we have on the roster, I'm taking him.
Well, remember, I mean, Deshaun had an injury before he was drafted. So I think if you let that deter you, because you can't predict injuries, you know, and that's just one of those things where you may have a guy that is, quote, brittle, but you also can't predict injuries, and you don't know. I mean, if he never gets hurt again and you passed on him and you go with a guy that ends up being a bust and he ends up being the next Mahomes, you look then people are going to look back and say, hey, you should have taken the chance, you know?
Sure.
That's kind of the tricky part about it is if you do draft him and he's hurt all the time, then people say, oh, well, you know, he had an injury history. You should have known. So you're kind of damned if you do, damned if you don't. I think there's a sweet spot that he could fall in. But this, I don't know if this affects his draft status. If he falls outside of the top five, I don't see it happening. But I wonder if this is other quarterbacks and their agents linking up with other guys and trying to put bugs in people's ear?
You know, I think that we know there are certain positions that are obviously more glorified than others. We also know they're going to be more scrutinized than others. And it all starts on both sides with the quarterback. But I think from a fan base perspective and a media perspective, I think you're going to get criticized more for not taking him than you would be for taking the risk. Because I don't think, from a fan's perspective, they are always in they want you to go for it mode. So the fact that as an organization, you took the chance, but you realized because of the benefits, if he does stay healthy, outweighed whatever happened if he just got, like, you know, beat to hell like David Carr or Deshaun a few years ago. I think fan bases and the media are going to be more willing to be forgiving and accepting if you take the risk and take him than if you pass on him, because then it shows, like, it's almost like the old McNair philosophy with the Texans. Like, you know, yeah, can't do that. I'm going to stay away from that because I don't want to take any risks. And I think fans hate that.
Yeah, two teams flunked him, but you just wonder if those two teams needed quarterbacks to begin with.
Right.
But, yeah, the to me, the record and the play on the field and watching what he did makes it all worth it.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think that's a guy that, like I said, and again, it wasn't like he played at a small school. Like, Jordan Love is going to be a guy that's climbing the draft boards, but really, has he played anybody consistently? And are you basing that more on potential than you are on actual field-proven, you know, abilities and achievements? I think, you know, coming from the program he's coming from too, and playing against the competition he played against and on the biggest stages, I think he's proven pretty much, you know, all you need to prove in college. Now, if the only worry you have is, you know, can he stay healthy, I'm taking that risk.
Yeah, I'm with you. For sure I'm taking that risk because of what he did. Hey, I wanted to circle back real quick because we did get a couple of names texted to us for the horse competition.
Yep.
And I thought it was actually a couple of pretty good suggestions and then one not so good suggestion. One of the good suggestions was Luka.
No doubt. I agree with that.
Would be a good one. And then Dame Lillard being added in there with all the – I mean, you remember he was shooting from damn near – I mean, he was shooting from the logo, knocking down three.
Yep.
So
another
good one.
So I
Dame added to the list. And then they had Giannis. Well, that was a
no.
If you're going to do the dunk horse contest, then
still
yes.
No. No.
Really?
Still no. You know why? Think about this, Barry. Now, he's dominant 5-on-5 because of he has that just freakish – length with his reach and his athleticism and his height, but he's not a guy that's going to go up and hang in the air and do, you know, degree of difficulty dunks before he slams it down. It's essentially that he's a center's body with handles and athleticism like a guard small forward, which is why he's up there for MVP the last several years. But in terms of he's not a shooter for horse. And from a dunk perspective, the dunks that he's going to do, I think pretty much a lot of guys that even aren't that athletic can do, as opposed to a Zach LaVine or some of the guys that we've seen in the dunk contest the last couple of years.
I don't know, man. I mean, I see what you're saying, but I just think some of the stuff that it's almost like, even with like a LeBron, just because of the power, not that he would be great in the dunk contest, but I think the thing with Giannis is he can get up, he'll do some dynamic flashy stuff. Because Dwight was the same way. I mean, you would have described Dwight in the same way you just did Giannis, right?
Without the handles. I mean, yeah. I mean, Dwight is a guy that doesn't have the handles or that kind of athleticism to go with, you know, the height and the physical attributes.
So then what? But I mean, he excelled in the dunk contest. So I think Giannis would be just as good, if not better.
I think Dwight jumps a lot higher than Giannis. Just my own personal opinion.
Well, I didn't like Giannis in a horse competition, but dunk, yeah. But I did think Luka and Dame would have been. I might even take out Harden and add Dame in instead. I think that might be a pretty damn good horse competition between Steph Curry and Dame Lillard. Boy, that would be fun to watch.
Yep, I think the suggestions were good ones, and those two should be on the list. I'm still going to stick with the two that I picked, but for sure, you bring up great points to back it up, too, in terms of the ability to shoot from long range with both guys. Luka's also very creative that way. Lillard, to take, he's just, I think he's one of the most underrated superstars in the game. So, yeah, I would put both those guys up there.
Word.
So there you have that. Any more from anything else you want to backtrack on, or text-wise or otherwise?
I mean, we got more text, but we can get to them slowly. We'll trickle them in. Somebody just said that they miss us on the Twitch feed.
So I don't.
They miss my beautiful face.
Oh,
you don't miss us on the Twitch feed?
No. Because that's like what everybody picks apart. They see everything, and then they gotta pick it apart.
Yeah, and just, you know, somebody texted thanking us for being on air and having some fun and providing normalcy. And we've gotten a lot of those. And I am so happy that we're able to, as a station, not just as a show,
right,
but as a station, I'm happy that we're able to provide some normalcy and some entertainment to folks that are in their house going stir crazy or at work going crazy or wherever it is. I'm glad that radio is still a thing that people can look to for entertainment and an escape and some normalcy. And I'm proud of us as a station. And Lance and I were talking about that yesterday, man. It's so cool that, you know, because Lance said specifically, he really wants people to feel like when he listens, I want to sit down with that guy and have a beer and hang out. And I think that's kind of been what the rest of this station has done as well. You and I on this show, you and I on Nick, and Fred and AJ for years have been that way, where people are like, dude, I just want to hang out with those guys, you know, and Raheel and John. And so it, you know, and we talked about Charlie's a little bit different breed, but you know what? We all respect Charlie so much for what he does. And it's good to mix it up a little bit. Not that you wouldn't want to hang out with Charlie, but he's going to stick to sports mostly, and that's okay too. So I'm just proud of what we have as a station and as a team. So
I've told you this before, and you've kind of given us kind of how you got into the business and things that you went through, including Rock the Mic, but you know, people that have kind of guided you along the way. Lance was one of those guys for me, because when I left the Rockets, all I knew was NBA and how to do the format and what we were doing. And I wasn't too proud to beg or ask for help. And I reached out to Lance and I was like, dude, do you think I can do this? And he's like, oh, you absolutely can do this. You can kill this. But I'm like, okay, lay it on me. He's like, here's things you have to remember that people are going to be endeared to you if you do. And if you don't do, they're going to hate you. And I go, okay, lay it on me. He's like, you have to build an impersonal, personal relationship with your listeners, if that makes sense. You may never have met most of the people that you that listen to you every single day, but if they feel like they know you, if you're not afraid to talk about like things that go on in your, you know, in your real life, your personal life, things like that, to where they can relate and they feel an attachment, because that's huge, because now they're going to listen to you from a loyalty standpoint. And I was like, wow, that is amazing. That was and you know, and he went down a list for me that I had saved on my phone for the longest time. And it just, it helped me immensely. And for him, I give him total credit. And I appreciate that, because yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, that's what we live for. I'm with you. I told Lisa, I said, that's the greatest thing in the world when we get these messages that say, thank you for helping me through my day and giving me some laughter and levity with what I'm dealing with. There's no greater feeling for me than that.
Well, I'm not trying to overplug it, but last night we talked about, because I told Lance, you know, the reason I'm trying to be so interactive with our listeners and talk to them and, you know, is hang out with them after a show, or if they come see me do comedy or whatever, because he was like that with me when I was a listener of his. And then we talked about how many different people he's helped in this business. And I was like, why are you so nice? Why have you? And he's like, just because I'm a hustler and I recognize a game, recognized game. I mean, I hustled. I got my breaks from John Granato. I mean, he's the one that kind of gave me my big break. And so if I can help others, because he started listing all the names of the people that he's helped get started in this business. Mm-hmm. And you're like, damn, that's a lot of folks. So it's cool. And I think it goes back to what we talked about, where you don't want to just be, you know, a stuffy sports guy. You want to feel like people want to hang out with you. And that's
well, and kudos to Lance. Because of the fact that we've even said over our time with ESPN, he set up an intern symposium where he brought in lunch and had all the interns gather and answered their questions and tried to help, you know, set the right path for them and guide them, mm-hmm. depending on what they wanted to do. And not many people in any business, let alone in any kind of entertainment business like this, are going to take the time that he took. And I think we were all like in 100%. We came to him and said, if you ever do this again, I want in. I want to help. I want to do those things. And it's because he had something like that. He had the wherewithal to start something like that. And you don't want to be considered, and I've told you this off the air, I think, too, like an Al Michaels, mm-hmm. where I've heard from people that went to parties and things where Al Michaels was, he would get in the den or in one room, and if you walked in, he'd go, did someone approve you to come in here? And you almost felt like,
oh, wow.
Can't talk to him and probably don't want to now, and it ruined an image that you might have had of him. Complete polar opposite in Lance, and he's helped a ton of people.
Yeah. That's how you are with me when we show prep. I'll go into the studio. Al Blank will be like, did someone say you can come in here and show prep with me? So I get it.
We'd have to have a show prep to do that. But yeah.
By the way, I want to read Donna's text because she has a great point, and it's, I think, been overlooked. But we get all the glory, you know, this show and all the shows that are on air. But she said, I'd like to add one more layer of gratitude, and that's can we get a word of thanks to Mr. Gal for keeping you guys up and running? Amen,
amen.
Donna.
Amen.
Freaking men.
No doubt about it. Good call, Donna. That's why David Gow needs to be on Barry's
and he will
channel
be.
Very soon. All right. Well, that's as we keep rolling. That's another segment in the books as we keep going forward till 4 o'clock, as we're almost to the halfway point. But always got room for you, the suspect. So if you want to be like Donna, you can text in or call in 713-780-3776. If you want to get on the Twitter and give us a tweet, we can also respond that way. And if it's good, we'll use it on the air. But we appreciate you guys, as always, and hopefully we're helping you get through your day. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Rolling through another show, The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5, as we wrap up the first half of the two-half, three-hour program. Barry, thoughts real quick. Says NBC has made a press release that coming up this weekend, Saturday Night Live will produce remotely new content while practicing social distancing. Show elements will include Weekend Update and other original content from cast members per NBC.
Okay.
I don't know quite how you're going to pull off Weekend Update, but I think that's going to be the easiest to pull off as opposed to a skit based on iPad, off your iPads.
Yeah, it's, I can tell you right now, even when I do my little thing and it's, you know, nobody's around. I'm the cameraman. I'm everybody. Because even just having Remy, who's our EP and cameraman, and maybe Lauren Lille or Jerome in the room laughing and giving me feedback really helps. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's going to be real awkward if this is all done remotely. It's going to be weird.
And obviously the live element is one thing. And then just watching the local, and you guys know we do this more than most, but just watching both national and local morning shows, news shows, Today, Good Morning America, all that. The more that you're implementing multiple people from their house or apartment, the more risk you run of missing cues. You know, you and I talk about it all the time, the fact that we don't have the nonverbal and or sight cues that we can do when we're in the studio to know to do things. It's difficult because we are on a slight delay, too, with our mics, so it's hard. It's a process, right? Well, you watch the news, or you watch even the Today Show when Hoda and like Savannah are going back and forth. It's the same thing, only it's worse. The other night, I was watching Fox 26, and their lead anchor comes back from break, and he's in his living room, and he's looking down, and he's scratching, and he's literally on camera back from break for about 15 seconds, and I'm like, is no one in his ear going, you're back, you're back, you're back? And finally, he goes, oh. hey, we're back on, you know, and I'm like, it's just, there's some awkward moments that you have just simply because of the fact that you, it's hard to predict what's going, you know, from segment to segment.
Oh yeah. It's going to be awkward because live is going to be, is way more awkward. If it's, you know, if you're recording, it's easy just to, sure. You know, it's like the other day when you spilled your water. There's nothing you can do. We're live on air, you know, or when the dogs go crazy.
Well, I was just going to tell you, I told Nick, I can't believe you didn't hear this, but we open up our driveway fence so that the people can cut the lawn. Well, I come in to do the show after I had opened the gate.
Today?
We're doing one, yeah, today. And we're doing one of the segments.
Oh, yeah,
in the
I heard
first
something
hour.
Today.
Yeah,
I heard
was like,
it.
I don't know how anybody heard it. And all of a sudden, I hear the back door open, and I hear Lisa at the top of her lungs going, "Oh God!" And she's like, "Man, I get that." And I'm like, and I'm sitting there going, "Well, do I just put my headset down and run out there, or do I wait till the break?" And she comes back in, she goes, "The lawn guy didn't shut the gate, and I let all the dogs out." I was like, "Oh Lord." So thankfully she corralled the ball, got him back in. But I was like, yeah, there's some unforeseen things that happen when you're doing the shows from home.
Yeah, it's yeah, for sure.
Taylor Blank still wants to be your co-host. Every time I walk back
anytime,
and shut the door.
Anytime. She's going to replace you, I'm down.
Yeah. She's giving me, every time I go back in and put the headset on, she watches through the door and just pouty face like, I want to do that. So
she's going to be like her daddy one day.
Maybe. Or a mommy, more like.
Yeah.
Except for now when she's just a professional housewife. All right, so we're going to continue to roll on. That's the first half of the show. Second half still to go. 90 minutes on the clock when we come back. Lots more to get to. And, of course, we are always open to you guys. So if you're a suspect and you want to get something off your chest, 713-780-3776. Call, text, or hit us on Twitter. We are the usual suspects. This is ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Second half of the show starts right now on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel on a Thursday in the big city as we hopefully keep you entertained and informed as we help you get through your day, no matter what you're out there doing. But stay out of county parks. Just go to the city ones. You're going to be fine.
Yeah, someone sent a pic of one of the county parks, and it was all like, you know how, if you've ever seen them like at a construction site, they have that makeshift fence almost. It's like plastic fencing.
Yep. Know what you're talking about.
It's got holes in it, you know, but it's like an orange or a yellow plastic.
Yep.
There was somebody sent in a picture of a park where the pavilion is wrapped around it, like 6 feet, 7 feet high.
Really?
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
Man. Then ironically, I'm sure there's a park within six blocks of that, that you can go and jog and do whatever you want to do because it's a city-run park, and it's still open. It's just, I just wish the
right.
Houston could get their bleep straight. But regardless, it is what it is. I was going to throw this at you guys and see what you thought, but we're watching the news last night, and they break the news coverage for the live press conference every single day from the president and all of his people. And someone in the middle of the press conference, because he takes questions at a certain point, someone throws it out there and says, "Are you going to pardon the Tiger King?" And he's like, you know, it is just without skipping a beat. He's
what?
Like, yeah. And he's like, "Would you do it? Would you do it? Is that something you do? Because I'll look at it. I'm open to it. I've heard a lot of things about this guy, but I'll look at it because evidently Don Jr. has said out publicly, Donald Trump Jr. said publicly he wants to talk to his dad about a pardon for Joe Exotic. And so Trump just addressed the question in the press conference.
I'm going to tell you something, and I'm pretty distraught about this, but I am now no longer pro Tiger King.
Why?
Not that I'm pro Carol Baskins, because I think she did it and she killed Epstein, but there was some articles that came out, and I put them on the rundown the last couple of days. I don't know if they got carried over, but the dude that was originally recording all the video for the reality show, the producer that, you know, he had left him and his dog after the studio got burned down. Mm-hmm. Well, he was saying that it was actually way worse than what they showed on Netflix. He was saying that it was filthy, that the way he treated the animals was like it was nothing like what was portrayed. For example, one of the stories he told is that a woman came by and said, "Hey, Joe, I have this horse. He's in the last days of his life, but I want him to be able to have a good, you know, I want him to live out his days, however long that is, with the ability to roam and have some fun. And will you help me?" And he goes, "Yep, sweetie, you leave him here with me and I'll take care of him." And he said, "I'll bring the trailer to you tomorrow, but we'll get him out there in the field and let him run." And the dude said, no sooner did she drive off that he goes, "Go get your camera." And the guy went and got the camera, and they just walk up and shot the horse right in the head.
Oh, God.
Took the horse and fed it to the tigers.
Oh, my God.
But
that's you're talking about that guy like Rick Kirkham or whatever that was the graspy voice cigarette smoking guy that,
Yes.
Who owned all the content?
Because he did,
right?
Yep. He did. He did David Spade's a show, and he was telling that story, and he was saying that if Joe Exotic got sick of a tiger, if he just didn't like him, he would just walk up and shoot him in the head. Now I can't be down with that anymore.
I'm not with that. You know that.
And then you add that to a potential murder for hire plot and all the other stuff. I'm just not down with that. So. I'm sorry, but, you know, we've always been real honest on this show about what I'm just going to have to jump off of this Joe Exotic for president bandwagon. I'm just not I'm not a fan anymore.
But Donald Trump takes an $85,000 ad to try to convict five guys of raping a woman that they did not rape, did not apologize. And now he wants to look into potentially pardoning the Tiger King. This just
right.
It's a political statement. It's absolutely. I don't even know if that's a political statement, but that's just stupid.
You're talking about the Trump thing was years ago, Central Park Five.
Yeah, in the 80s, the Central Park Five. He takes out 85 grand. They prove that they had nothing to do with the rape. He does not apologize. He has no clue about what's really going on in this Tiger King situation. And, I'll look into it. It's just sorry, dude.
Barry, to what you were saying, too, about the Tiger King, there's one more episode coming and maybe we get down to what you were talking about, because TMZ is joining forces with Fox and they're going to produce a 1-hour special. TMZ investigates Tiger King, what really went down, in which TMZ honcho Harvey Levin will have feature interviews with people close to the currently incarcerated former zookeeper Joe Exotic, as well as new footage. It's set to air April 13th and premiere on Fox, and will examine questions Netflix raised in the docuseries.
Oh, they're doing producer on producer crime now. I like it.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So TMZ's going to drop a documentary, then Showtime's going to shut it down, then Netflix is going to come out with even one that's better. It's going to be just an absolute war.
So they're going to examine whether Carol Baskin did it or not, and should that be reopened. They're going to examine the murder for hire plot as well, and they're going to examine questions about if he's really guilty. So maybe that's exactly what you're talking about, Barry. But the numbers, did you see the numbers according to Netflix?
No.
34.3 million people have tuned in to Tiger King.
Oh, my God. That is... That's
one of the biggest hits in the history of Netflix.
That's insane to me, and that just blows away TV numbers, really. Like, if you think about what popular shows pull, it's not in that category, is it?
I'm not sure.
What did the Super Bowl get?
I think I want to say the Super Bowl. I'll look it up, but I want to say the Super Bowl is in like the 50 at least nationwide, as opposed to, you know, worldwide. But it's got to be over 50 million. But let me see if I can look it up.
Okay, yeah. Now here it is: Super Bowl 2020, 102 million viewers, up from last year. Now I wonder,
now, is that nationwide
worldwide,
or is that That would be my
question. 107 million total viewers, 98.
It is nationwide because it's a million. It's a national American broadcast, like whatever national television station on America. They're probably doing it based on, like, you know, the ABC or the ESPN numbers, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't think they included a lot, man. Of course, that's a ton. Because Joel's right. There probably are international numbers that they're not including in that.
Wow. That's a lot. It just pays to be weird, I guess.
Yeah, you're right. Anything from in the 90s to over 100 million is about where the Super Bowl viewership is in the nation now.
Right. Okay.
So to think that you're obviously roughly between a third and a half of that saw the Netflix special Tiger King. You think, you talk about appeal, that unforeseen appeal. That's crazy.
That is crazy, because I actually saw it before it was being talked about. Like, you know, when they first drop it, you'll see like new or whatever. And I was like, Tiger King. I was like, well, that sounds stupid. And then they have the picture of the guy. I was like, I don't want to watch that. And then the more people started talking about it, I of course fell in line. I was like, okay, what is this all about? I guess I need to go investigate. And then fell in love with it. And it was amazing. But at first I was like, nah, I'm not watching that.
Yeah. It's obviously it has a life of its own now, and it's, got everybody talking, including the president, who's thinking about, and believe me, for a lot of reasons, I could see Trump pardoning him. I really could.
I just don't see how. I mean, if he gave money, the guy said he took, what, $3,000, because he wanted to hire him to kill someone. I mean, I just don't see how you pardon that.
I think the bigger thing is that from the standpoint of the murder for hire, the guy never went through with it. He didn't even actually get down that far into where she was in Florida. You could say, for a lot of reasons, depending on what they have and don't have in terms of documentation of what the money was for, it's a he said, she said. But if the bigger issue is, if Barry's right, and if there's a whole bunch that we missed because of the way it was produced in terms of actual animal cruelty, people are so much more passionate about that, and the crime was actually committed, I think that's where he won't. It'll hurt him a lot.
I mean, there was conflicting stories just within Netflix. Like the same guy that said that took the money and said that he chickened out is the same guy who said, I didn't really want to do it. I just wanted to screw Joe Exotic and take his money. So it is kind of weird.
But still,
the fact that if he actually took that money, or if Joe Exotic actually handed that money over for that purpose, I don't see how you pardon him if they can prove
both are crimes. Yep.
Yeah, and the other thing that, Barry, the point you bring up is a valid one on all reality shows, because they always complain, from Real Housewives to The Amazing Race, a producer controls your entire fate, because you could have a conversation that went one way, but the way they chop it up, edit it, and put it out on the broadcast, it could sound completely the opposite, and there's nothing you can do about it. So let's hope that, let's hope the truth comes out in the wash
one way
or another.
That's what I need to do with Joel and Barry's words. Just chop it up, twist it around.
Yeah, like you would ever do something like that.
Oh, you mean like recording them and then just, I hope you enjoyed my sausage, sir, out of nowhere? You mean like that?
But I need to take it a step further.
I don't think you do.
I think enough steps have been taken.
It might be necessary.
A-hole.
Yeah, you've done more than your local two-step at the country bar with the way you've done us. So let's just slow
that
roll. By the way, Nick, when you were out, did you hear Aaron Rabel's now famous quote?
What is it?
Ooh, that's one that was saved that you need to find. That's all I'm going to tell you. All right, we're going to continue to roll on. It's the usual suspects on a Thursday as we wrap up hour number two next. Don't go anywhere. ESPN 97.5.
I'm glad you're enjoying my sausage, sir.
Sam Windsor with the Houston Sabercats here. Even when I'm down under, I'm listening to ESPN 97.5 on the app. You can stream the boys from anywhere. Mate.
Are not going to get smiley faces and stars for paying more interest to your bank. Call TexasLending.com today for your home refinance for one of the lowest refinance rates in the state of Texas. Call us 800-346-8047. Go online and apply today at texaslending.com.
4100 Alpha Road, Suite 300, Dallas, Texas, 75244. And MLS number 137773, Equal Housing Lender.
Is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back to wrap up hour number two of the three-hour show. It's The Usual Suspects. ESPN, appreciate you taking this on the go, wherever you may be. Get through this pandemic and the coronavirus, as hopefully everybody's staying safe and healthy and social distancing and all that stuff. Fellas, not too long ago, Chris Johnson was one of the better running backs in the NFL.
Yep.
Have you seen now that he's being accused in a murder for hire?
Crazy.
Now, I remember when he was playing, and it was still where he was a pretty relevant running back, that he had gotten shot. And I want to say it was in the shoulder. And people were, like, asking questions then, but nothing really came of it in terms of what exactly happened. And he made a full recovery, and he continued to play. Now it turns out that there are people accusing him of being in the middle of gang-related activity in which he was shot, and the guy who was driving the car was actually killed during that shooting. And it says that Johnson then turned around and paid someone with gang affiliation to take care of the people that were caught for shooting him and his buddy, and they were both killed.
Yeah, that's not a good look. I don't know what kind of evidence exists, but it was interesting when you saw that drop that supposedly he's basically the money man behind this dude that did the killings and has rose to prominence in this drug gang. Right. And he's the one funding it all and actually has been involved in some of the day-to-day operations of the gang too. So I don't know what evidence exists. You know, you always want to err on the innocent until proven guilty, but not a right. good look. And you know, You see about, oh, well, he got shot and it was gang related. And the article that I saw, there was a link that was like, oh, and this is the first time he's had a run in with the law. And it was because he carried a gun. Well, look, a lot of folks carry guns. I'm not going to judge somebody strictly based off of that, because if that were the case, then, you know, most people in Texas would be suspect to a criminal. So to being a criminal. So it is bad, though, when you look at the circumstantial evidence.
Well, yeah, you go back to and you remember that when authorities wanted to talk to him after the initial shooting, when he got shot, he was not cooperative. And then the rumors started coming out about, was it gang related? Then, as you said, then he pays this guy, a known gang member, and pays him to take care of the two guys that were supposedly responsible. And as you pointed out, then because he prominent, the guy did what he was supposed to do. And because that was a show of respect, and because then he also, you know, was affiliated with Johnson, who had money and everything else, dude became a kingpin.
Yeah.
That's it's all crazy to me. And mm-hmm. you know, if you're an NFL football player and you're making the money that he made, like I said, when he was on top of his game, he made good money. I don't know why you need to be involved in all of that.
Yeah. Although I could see, and I'm not saying that what he did is right if he did it, but I could see where if someone shot you, killed your friend, revenge is not off the table. And if you've got the means, and by means I mean money, to make that happen, how much did you, you know, how far are you willing to go to avenge your friend's death?
Yeah, I guess it's more about, you know, from a standpoint of things like that than it is financially, because his net worth is $33 yeah. million. Dollars.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean if you're sitting on that, you're doing just fine.
Oh, yeah. I'd like to be sitting on $33 right now.
Yeah, okay.
I would. Let me hold $33, Joel. Let me hold $33.
I don't think it would be overwhelming to you. I don't know that you could. The emotions would just be rushing out of you. I don't think it's something we want to go through.
I'm almost out of. Did you have a bottle of hand selected barrel Canadian whiskey from Crown Royal, Joel? Did you have a hand selected?
I'm going to say no. Though I told you I haven't really gone through the inventory.
Because I'm almost out. Tonight I will have finished it, and it's a sad times in the Laminack household. So if you have a bottle, Broseph,
well,
you know,
Dave, one of our loyals that was at the he texted the other day and said, "I'm always listening. If you need more Crown Select, let me know." Well, and I said, "Dave, I need more. I may be willing to share with you, Barry, depending on how you are from now through the show, but we'll see."
Oh. Team blank, baby.
No, don't start that. Justin agrees with you, Barry, on the Chris Johnson situation.
Oh,
Justin, what's
up?
Yeah. What's going on, guys? How are y'all doing?
What's up, man?
Very good.
So, just a quick thought on the whole Chris Johnson thing. I was unfortunately shot, and we'll just call it a bad transaction a couple years back. Knew who did it. Obviously, I don't have the finances or the means to handle it how Chris Johnson is. But when someone gets you like that in that type of situation, it's almost like a manlyhood thing that you want to try to handle it yourself and don't get authorities involved. And, I mean, it kind of goes to the number one rule of the streets, don't snitch. So that's my thoughts. I love what y'all are doing. Thanks for keeping us entertained and doing what y'all do. Much appreciated.
Appreciate it, Justin. Thanks
appreciate
for the
you,
call.
Justin. Glad you survived being shot. That's no fun.
The most well-spoken drug dealer I've ever heard. Met my
Nick. And at least he had Nick's motto down to a science.
Which was?
Snitches gonna get stitches.
That's right. Yeah.
I'm just kidding. I don't know what he was doing. I'm glad he was able to recover. But I actually do see his point and agree with him, because that is a real mentality that's taken upon by many people who feel that way.
Yeah,
I've never been shot, but I've been shot at. And I can tell you that it's the scariest thing I've ever experienced in my life. When you can hear a bullet whiz past your head, that's scary. And
well, absolutely.
So when you have a friend that would, maybe you've been shot or I get it. I mean, I'm not suggesting that it's right and it's okay, but it doesn't matter your financial status. I mean, it's really about, you know, it's about you and your personal safety and revenge and your friends and all those things. Money at the end of the day is the last thing I bet. All the money is a means to extract the revenge at that point.
Yeah, I think it's more like Justin was saying. I mean, obviously, you know, whether you call it a man law thing or a macho thing or just a pride thing, that takes shape in a lot of different ways. And I think it also, if you guys saw this story about Anthony Smith, I mean, the UFC fighter, and he had someone break into his house. And he goes face to face with the guy, and he's got like 30 pounds on him, but he basically describes everything that's going on, that went on, and the struggle. And he wasn't afraid to say that it was terrifying, one of the toughest fights he's ever had, that it was crazy how the guy had no quit in him, and that, you know, he's trying to protect his family. And he had no shame in stating, you know, for all the UFC fights he's been in, everything like that, that this guy was maybe the toughest fight he's ever been in, because it's different circumstances and a different form of adrenaline. But I give him credit for being able to, you know, to tell it like it is, because a lot of people would be embarrassed about that, going, man, I fight for a living. This dude shouldn't have been anything.
Well, and could you imagine somebody that wouldn't be as highly trained as him having to go through that?
And
you figure he's a guy in the UFC that knows how to defend himself. I mean, he's got jiu-jitsu and wrestling and boxing and all these other things.
Fought for the title, for crying out loud.
Yeah. And so he's having a tough time with just some rando, probably who's hopped up on something, let's be real. He's probably, you know, whether it's meth or whatever, but probably something that's making it not a fair fight. And God forbid one of our fat asses, somebody comes in the house and we have to have that same fight. We ain't winning that fight. That's why. But
no,
that's, again,
he
that's,
said, he goes,
I don't need to win that fight. My gun wins that fight.
I was
damn
just
that.
Say.
Yeah.
He came down the hallway of his house. He goes face to face with the dude. And he thought that, you know, he whether he was going to intimidate the guy or the guy was trying to scare him. But, you know, they go face to face. He didn't know if the intruder had a weapon, but they start like grappling and getting into it. And he's like, no normal human is supposed to fight like that. And I'm not the baddest dude on the planet, but he's a regular Joe. And I had a hard time dealing with him. And every time I gave him a punch, a knee, an elbow, he took everything and kept fighting. And I think that's to your point, Barry. I think that you might be hopped up on something, or for whatever the reason,
Mountain
you know,
Duke.
that level of invincibility, whether it be chemically induced or not, means a whole hell of a lot when you're talking about life and death as opposed to just a cage match.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I think any normal person would be scared. Tweaker. There's rules, and it's regulated and controlled in a cage, and there's no knives, and there's no guns.
Right.
Someone coming into your house, you don't know what the hell that guy has, and that was his exact concern, knives, guns. I'd be absolutely terrified. So, I mean, that's just messed up. I also would be like, man, you better not have after I kicked his ass and subdued him, I'm like, well, you better not have COVID, because I'm really going to kick your ass.
Now I'm going to shoot your ass. Now I got to cut you. You cut him, and now you're really going to get the Rona. Now what?
It's all over you.
Yeah.
And I ain't lying, man. When I lived in Midtown, I had someone knock down my front door one night, and that's a different kind of adrenaline. When you're dealing with, you know, what could be a life or death or a weapon injury situation as opposed to just, like, you know, fighting in the gym or something.
Right.
That's a different feeling. So.
Oh, yeah.
Whew. All right, so there you go. That's the second hour of the show. We still got 1 hour to go. 60 minutes on the clock. We come back. We'd love to have you be a part of it. 713-780-3776, HRMP listener line. Call that number, text that number, or hit us on Twitter. It's the final hour up next, ESPN 97.5.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now. Do it.